Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Bible passage to guide us today as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, goodness. Do unto others as, how does it go? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. This is goodness. Let's talk about that fruit of the Spirit this morning. You know, if I had to compare goodness to an activity, I was thinking about this week, I would compare it to juggling. I don't know how many jugglers we have in the congregation, but I like to juggle. To be a juggler, you need to stay present in the moment. That's the trick behind juggling. And you've got to be focused, present in the moment. That's the way the fruit of the Spirit, goodness, works. It works in a similar way. You know, when you first start to juggle, if you've ever had that experience, actually, some of you don't try it. I don't want broken things at your house. But if you do try it, in the very beginning, it's a very awkward process. You toss up one ball, and the toss is good, but the right hand doesn't know where it's going, and you're off. Or you don't toss it so well, and your hand's in the right place. Balls go here, there, and everywhere. It's quite a mess. But through time and by practice, juggling can happen with the right focus. What I've noticed with juggling when I first learned how to do it, I noticed that when I concentrated on the fourth, fifth, and sixth steps, that's when problems set in, focusing on the future, way down ahead of myself. And the opposite was true. When I thought about the past and the mistakes that I made, and when I focused on how I had never really juggled completely, I began to lose confidence, and juggling was not a possibility. But when someone focuses in the present, one ball at a time, one toss, one catch, slowly but surely, juggling takes place. Juggling can become very advanced. Juggling can become quite fun and entertaining. You become captivated by it. Dear friends, goodness it works in a similar way, but it does take being focused in the present, focused in the moment. As I think about goodness, we caught it there in our passage, our theme celebration. Just a couple things to note here. That word comes from the Greek word agathos. And if you remember in our sermon series, these words are specifically chosen by Paul to get at the inner core of our being. See, there's another word for good in the Greek. It's kalos. Paul doesn't choose that. He chooses agathos. In other words, beauty that resides inside of us, that bubbles out just because of the person that we are. The best compliment that we could ever get from someone is not what we do and what we accomplish. It's when they say, "You are a wonderful person and have wonderful character." The fruit of the Spirit is what's behind that. Goodness resides deep in the heart. And it is a lifelong process. Think about what the Bible says about goodness. The Bible is consistent and constant in the theme of goodness. Jesus taught it this way about goodness. You heard it. Luke chapter 6, Jesus says this, "Do unto others what you would have them do to you." Others means all people, all ages, all races, all creeds. Do unto others as they would do unto you. Jesus in Luke chapter 6. Jesus' two closest followers then, Peter and Paul, they teach the same thing. Peter says this in his writings. Peter says, "Do not have people repay wrong for wrong or insult for insult." This is in chapter 5. Peter advises, "When other people give you wrong, pay them back with goodness." Paul goes on in the book of Thessalonians to the Christians gathered there. He says, "Make sure that people do not pay wrong for wrong, but make sure they're always striving to do good to each other and everyone else." Listen to those words. Always striving to do good to each other and everyone else. Then Paul instructs young Titus, a young pastor. He says these words, Make sure that the people devote themselves to goodness. That way they can take care of urgent needs that come in the congregation, and so that they do not live unproductive lives. Jesus, Peter, Paul, all practicing and promoting the art of goodness. Now, dear friends, why is it, it's very clear teaching that we are to be good, that we are to be a blessing to those that come our way, but why is it that we're not so good at always doing it? Well, remember my analogy with juggling. We fall into the trap, the same trap of juggling. Remember, juggling falls apart when you think about steps 4, 5, and 6 down the road, or when you think about the past, you can't juggle. But when you stay focused in the moment, juggling happens. Goodness works in a similar way. Maybe you're sitting here this morning thinking about the shopping list that you need to do for this week, and the meeting that you have on Wednesday, and then the trip that you have on Friday, and then what's going to come Saturday. See, when we don't live in the present moment, we're not able to practice goodness and see the opportunities to be a blessing to those in front of us. And the same is true about what's behind us. When we say things like this, boy, I wish I would have jumped in on that opportunity in 2010, or I wish I would have done things differently a few years ago. We're not able to live in the moment and presently address the gift of giving goodness to those people in front of us. Are you living in the present? Are you living in the present? Goodness is a rare thing. Sometimes we really overblow the words that we use. The word good is a precious thing. When something is good, it means, literally in the Bible, it means that it's as if heaven were coming to us. It's as if all the stars align and everything is just the way that it should be. My wife and I had a moment like that a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to share it with you today. It was her birthday, and all we did was we went out for dinner together. That's a big deal. We don't get to do that with our girls all the time. We have dinner always with our family, and we sat there and had dinner and pizza, and then we had dessert. We actually had a conversation with each other, and we looked each other in the eyes, and we thought, boy, I remember how this went when we were first dating. This was great. And at the end of that date, the only word that you could use to say about that experience was this: that was good. That's the way we felt. Whenever you go to a movie and you see something that's just extraordinary and it's just right, you say, wow, that is good. It's a rare experience. And so when God creates the first 6 days, at the end of every day, there's that word: it was good. Everything was just right. Everything just came in the right circumstances, and the stars fell in the right place. It was good. Now, dear friends, if there was someone, goodness is a rare thing these days. You hardly ever experience it. But if there was someone that was in your life that gave you goodness every single time and made you feel like you did on date night, that first time you went out with your loved one, as you think about that Valentine's Day weekend, if there was that person who did make you feel a sense of goodness and gave you a sense of heaven at every single moment, you would worship them and you'd see them as God Himself. See, friends, that's Jesus. Every single person who saw Jesus saw goodness. Jesus' enemies. When Pontius Pilate saw Jesus, he wiped his hands clean, and he looked into his heart, and he saw that there was goodness in Jesus. When the Roman centurion who was there and put Jesus to death, when he saw the events and what Jesus saw, and he saw the creation around Jesus go dark, he said, truly, this is the Son of God. When tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes who no one really would claim to have goodness, when they came across Jesus, they too saw the goodness inside of him. And when Jesus' followers who experienced his healing touch, they too with open mouths would say, there's goodness. He's brought goodness into my life. That's Jesus. And friends, every time that you experience Jesus at this church, You get that goodness. You know, in the old Lutheran liturgy, there's something called the proper preface. It's for the time in which you're preparing your heart for the sacrament. We don't do it always here at church. But there's wording there that I want to highlight to you that is extra special and shows the goodness of Jesus. It says this: with angels and archangels and all the glory of heaven, we gloriously magnify your name and praise you evermore, singing you and saying, how does it go? Holy, holy, holy Lord. What we're saying there is we're joining the angels and saying heaven has come to earth and Jesus is blessing us with his goodness. He does it for us too. How do we know that we're practicing goodness in our life, being a blessing to others? Is there a litmus test to know that we're doing it right? Well, here it is. This is going to be tough. It's not by asking your friends and those that you agree with on everything. If you went to your best friend and asked them, well, what do you think of Oscar? Oscar's, I hope your best friend says he's a good guy. Now, if your best friend doesn't say that you're a good guy, don't come see me. You need to talk to somebody else. Here's the thing. If you go and talk to your enemy, that person that is the most difficult person, and that person says he's a good guy, then you're practicing goodness. Can you do that? That's tough. That's Jesus teaching in Luke chapter 6. The hypocrites, of course, Jesus says, that everyone that they know is going to say they're great people. That doesn't count. It's the person that's difficult and hard. Would they say that you're good? That's tough. And that's the challenge. Everyone, all race, all creed, all people, goodness. And there's really one more aspect in which goodness is related to juggling, and it's this. Goodness is captivating like juggling. If you ever see a good juggler, you just stare at them and you wish, boy, I wish I could do that. And you almost want to jump right in, even though they're tossing flames and so forth. It's so captivating. That's what goodness does. It's always happened in the Christian church. When the Christian church throughout the centuries practices goodness, it attracts people in. And they want to know more about it. When Christians practice goodness, people are brought in and drawn. May that be our practice here at Peace. A practice of goodness so that it spreads and more people want to take part and more people want to spread it around. Amen. Let's pray about that this morning. Dear Jesus, we're coming before you to ask an extra measure of goodness. Not just to those that we agree with, but to those that we don't agree with, that they would know that we are good and that we want to be a blessing to all people. Work in that in our hearts as we seek to be a blessing in our church family and in our community. In Jesus' name, amen.